Hey, this is Nomar Slevic, author of UFOs Over Maine, and you're listening to the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Okay, today I have Mandy Cummings on the show. She is a lead investigator with the Ghost Sisters Paranormal, and the Ghost Sisters and the Ghost Brothers were recently on the Travel and Discovery Channel. Welcome to the show, Mandy. I mean, that's really impressive to be on Discovery and Travel Channel with the, I mean, who are the Ghost Brothers?
The Ghost Brothers are awesome. They were a group of friends who were on the Travel Channel and Discovery Plus for like 4 years, and it was very interesting how we ended up being on their show.
That's pretty cool. You got Ghost Brothers and the Ghost Sisters.
I know. And you know, I predicted this was going to happen before it did. I said, you know, we had already started the team. I said, Ghost Sisters are going to end up joining the Ghost Brothers watch. And that happens. It was like everything happens for a reason, I believe. And it just the way it all lined up. And I'll have to tell you that story. Whenever you're ready for me to tell you it, I'll tell you it.
I'm ready.
Oh, you're okay. So I worked in law enforcement for 8 years. And before I even started my team, I've always wanted to go to the Mansfield prison. And finally, there wasn't like a year wait, and I ended up getting a ticket offline to go it wasn't a private investigation, it was public. And, you know, I've always been drawn to the paranormal because I've always been dealing with spirits since I was young. And so I was very intrigued by it. And I didn't know how to investigate, so I just ended up ordering a couple of devices. I had an EMF detector, I had a recorder and a spirit box SB7 and flashlight and GoPro on. But when I got my tickets, I was like, oh no, I'm the only one going to be on this investigation. So I asked my sister, I called up my sister and I'm like, Chastity, I'm going on this investigation. I got me a ticket and I don't want to go alone. I need you to get your ticket and go with me. Of course, she was like, couldn't believe I was going to do this. And I said, let's just go. It'll be fun, you know. So anyway, we did. And when everybody was outside taking pictures before they let everyone go in to investigate, we kind of like snuck down to the solitary area while the lights were still on. And when nobody was down there, I had my GoPro on and I turned on the spirit box and I'm asking questions. And I kept hearing this guy. He kept saying, hey, hey, you know, and I'm like, I told my sister, I said, I keep hearing this guy. And plus, he was coming through my spirit box. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know at the time, but later when the video was reviewed, you could see what looked like a guard, something black. It was a figure of a person walking at the end of the hallway. And the way they were walking, it was like a guard. And, you know, I worked in law enforcement. I know the walk, and you could just tell. And there was also a black shadow figure standing in the middle of the hallway there where the cells were. But we didn't know that at the time until later. So anyway, we were excited, you know, we captured something, you know, first time ever going on an investigation. And we got what you call the Holy Grail, I guess, you know, what people want to find, you know, an apparition. And so anyway, something told me, don't lose this video. Don't delete anything. Keep the video. And so after going on that investigation, it was a week later, I call up my sister and I said, hey, I'm starting up a team and you're joining me. And she was like, what? She's like, whatever, you know. So it went from there, and probably, I want to say about 2 years in, Ghost Brothers came out, and we were like, oh, wow, you know, these guys, Ghost Sisters, Ghost Brothers. Well, as it turns out, I have a friend, she's a producer. She works for all these different production companies on the Travel Channel. Mm-hmm. And at that time, she was the producer for Ghost Brothers. And she sends me a message, you know, and she's like, because she knew I worked in law enforcement, and they weren't looking for paranormal investigators. They were looking for someone who had an experience that was in law enforcement or something like that. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, when I captured that, I wasn't a paranormal investigator. I didn't even have a team. So it worked out great. I ended up being on the show, and my sister, she didn't get to go and meet them, but her face is on there. Like, she got 3 seconds of fame because you can see her. And but I got to meet the guys, and I got to tell my story. I was the person who was on the episode the longest with the guys. I'm in like 6 clips. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool.
Wow.
So that's how that became. But it was so weird because, you know, it's like everything aligned, you know, me getting in law enforcement, the fact that I was in law enforcement got me on the show. It's just weird how it all lined up, but that's how it all happened.
Yeah, I don't believe a coincidence. So, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
And I think, would you say that maybe that was the jump start of the Ghost Sisters?
I would say that we had already been in, we had already been at that time, because that was 2 years ago. We started in October of 2017.
Oh, okay.
So we had already been investigating for like 5 years. Yeah, that was awesome to have that opportunity to tell the story.
Right.
And, you know, meet the guys, because we're a lot like them in the field. They're funny guys.
Are they out of Ohio too, or where are they located?
They are, I don't know where they're located. They're not in Ohio though. Oh, okay. But they're further away. Uh-huh. But they are funny when they're in the field. They are funny, and that's how we are. So it's I just thought that was awesome because we are a lot alike.
So your team is you and your sisters. Is there three of you?
Yes, three of us, and we are biological sisters.
And what's your sister's names that are on the team?
Chastity, and she's been on the team since I started the whole thing. And Bobby Joe, she's only been on the team for maybe 3 years now.
Okay, and do each one of you have a different gift that you bring to the table, or?
Yes. Each of us have our own talents that we bring. Chastity is the comic relief. We never know what's going to come out of her mouth when she's asking questions from the spirits, or, I mean, she's always doing something goofy, but that's good because when you're out there investigating, spirits love that. You know, they were people too at one time. So depending on the environment that we're in, a lot of times we get a lot of communication because they love the energy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and she's sensitive. And me, I'm the intuitive medium, you know, so I'm able to channel with the spirits when I'm out there. My other sister is a skeptic, but she is kind of like, now she's becoming like the skeptic / clairvoyant. all of a sudden it's like she's opening up to the spirit world, and it wasn't something that she intended to happen. It just, she started seeing them, started hearing them, and it was just like, oh, you know, I was skeptic.
And I like that, you know, because, you know, you kind of ground each other.
Yeah, yeah. Or sometimes we'll bounce off each other too much, mm-hmm. and it can cause conflict a little bit.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
A little bit of sisterly love, so to speak, you know.
Yes, and the people love it when we're out there because that we do bicker at each other because we're sisters. That's mm-hmm. what we do. We keep it real. You know, sometimes I feel like I need to step outside because sometimes the spirit's energies will make me feel angry towards my sister, and I can feel it when it's coming on, and I'm like, oh gosh, I gotta like step outside, or you know, try to shake it off. And it happens a lot out there.
Right. When we first talked, you know, I did some research on you guys and watched some YouTube videos, and I can't believe it was TikTok or what. But mm-hmm. but I like the way you guys were, as I say, you know, keeping it real. You were down to earth, and you are who you are. You know, You're not putting on a show for other people. I mean, you're doing what you love to do and just being yourself, you know, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're based out of Marion, Ohio?
Yes, we are from Marion, Ohio, and that's where we're based out of. Marion is north. It's about 35 minutes from Mansfield, and we have little surrounding counties around us. We got Delaware, Ohio, Kenton, Ohio, Upper Sandusky, Galleon, Ohio, Bucyrus, and then Marion's like right in the center.
Now, will you travel outside your area for an investigation?
Yeah, we do travel around the states to do businesses or paid locations. But when it comes to doing residential cases, people's homes, we tend to stick around close to us, like maybe an hour or two away from where we're at. That'll be the furthest. But I will say this because it's going to end up happening here soon. We are going to travel to Kentucky to do a friend that's in my sister's business with her. It's her family's having some issue going on at a family location in Kentucky. And they want us ladies to come and check it out. And usually I wouldn't do that to travel for a residential case, but this one's interesting. So I'm going to do it with the team. So we're going.
Do you prefer residential over commercial?
It depends. I like to help the families, you know, because sometimes they always want to. A lot of times people, they instantly think it's something demonic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, listen, it's like 90% of the time it's not going to be. And I'm not saying those cases aren't out there, because I'm sure they are. But we haven't come across that. Now, angry spirits, yeah, because I'm a firm believer how you are in this life. When you pass away and you're still here lingering, mm-hmm. you're going to be how you were in life. If you were evil, you're going to be an evil spirit. If you were outgoing, you're going to be a fun, outgoing spirit. Or if you're angry, you're going to be angry. So a lot of times on these investigations, when it comes to the residential cases, we are dealing with angry spirits.
And that's the thing with the spirits, you know. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, you have, you know, angry spirits or a pissed off spirit, you know. It doesn't make it a demon.
Mm-mm. But people think because they've got all this stuff going on that, you know, or they're being scratched. And just because, you know, not to say that something, you know, evil wouldn't scratch, but sometimes you could be dealing with a spirit trying to get your attention. If you're dealing with children, if you're dealing with children that are disabled or, you know, handicapped in some way, they're going to try to get your attention by maybe scratching you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always have to be something demonic. It's just another way they are trying to get your attention.
Any case you've been on that stands out the most to you?
A residential case-wise? Or
either residential or commercial.
Well, yeah, we did do a residential case that was very, it was like probably one of the best I've ever ran into. They thought there might have been something demonic or something going on, but that wasn't the case. But this location where they lived, they definitely had, I want to say they had a poltergeist. They captured on videos of the door mm-hmm. opening and slamming shut from the basement. There was all kinds of crazy stuff. It might have even been a funeral home at one time. They don't know, or they held wakes there. But when we went and investigated, we got all kinds of crazy communication, and we use a device. It's a spirit box, but it's called the Ink Box, mm-hmm. and it's like it looks like an 80s boom box, and it's awesome. And it has different, it has the FM and the AM, and it has sweep one, sweep two. And those are just, the sweeps are lesser frequencies. You're not sweeping through like on an FM station. It's sweeping really fast and you're getting all kinds of different frequencies coming through. But with sweep on this device, it's not like that. It's less frequencies. So I'm dealing with maybe one or two frequencies. But you get clear communication. It's unreal. Very intelligent responses. And these spirits were, I mean, it was kind of sad, and because the guy that lived there, he had a past. He had a bad habit. He had used substances, you know. Mm-hmm. He had been incarcerated, and was out doing good in his life, working, taking care of his family. And I think that he had things follow him from where he was in, you know, incarcerated from. And then he had issues with a father that had passed on. And so these, I felt like that thing was feeding off of him. It was making him angry. And the spirits kept coming through the box, calling him out. I mean, it was unreal. It was a crazy night. But it was what they said was going on was truly going on. And we ended up saging the house when we were done. And, you know, we told them when we do that, that could, you know, sage burns spirits. They don't like it. Uh-huh. So it kind of kicked up the energy for them a little bit after we were there. But I think things did calm down for them a little bit. But that was a very interesting case because they had poltergeist activity happening. Definitely some angry spirits.
Yeah, you mentioned the like voice boxes and spirit box. I mean, I think one of your episodes you had a device like a brainwave.
Yes, yeah, the brainwave.
And I thought that was very interesting. I never heard that.
Mm-hmm. So Katie Stafford, you might know him from Discovery Plus and the Travel Channel. He's known as the Mad Scientist. He was on Devil's Perch or something like that on the Travel Channel. He was on multiple shows. So he is a celebrity, but he's also known as someone who builds devices. He's known to make these devices. And we have about three things of his that he's made for us. And the brainwave was one of them. And only four people have this device. And I am fortunate to be one of those people. And there's other celebrities that do, but I won't call them out, but they do. And the whole point of the device is it reads your mind and whatever you're thinking comes through that spirit box. So I've been trying to incorporate what is the best method to use a device like that in the field. We've tried different things, you know, kind of like almost like using it like the Estes method, but not so much like that. It's a really unique device, and I like to use it. So it's different.
So you can contact the spirits through that?
Well, they're reading my mind as a medium.
They're reading your mind?
Yes, and it doesn't have a sweep on it. So I can make the device, the spirit box, speed up. It can go faster. So I make it like I'm using my mind to make it go fast. Because when you first turn it on, it's just slow. There's no sweep setting on it to make it scan faster. But I use my mind, and it just goes in the full gear. And trust me, I've done it numerous times. And so it's a unique device. But
that's got to blow your mind if you're thinking of something and they respond back to you. That's got to be wild.
It really is. And trying to incorporate that into the paranormal field on how it makes sense, because some people might be like, okay, so how are you using this in the field? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like using your gift of being a medium in the field, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I've had my sisters ask me questions and I can't hear them. And I'm like channeling with them, but I can't hear their questions. And I'm just, whatever's in my mind is coming through that box.
I know you were having trouble with the one episode I was watching you. I think it was a chirping like a bird or something.
Yes. So I think what was going on with a device like that, because it's pulling from two different things, it's pulling from the headgear and it's pulling from the spirit box. So I did have a cheaper battery in there, and I think I need to probably use an Energizer or something stronger, and it shouldn't do that. And if it does continue, them guys are awesome. They'll be like, they love us girls, so they'll just be like, you can send it back, and we'll check it out. No cost, you know?
See, I love learning things on this show, you know, and I came across that. I'm like, wow, you know, because I'm old school, you know, so I go back to 20 some years ago when I did my documentary on Ghost in the Valley from Northeast Ohio, Western PA. A friend of mine, he kind of, like this guy, who invented that brainwave thing, he invented this box. It was kind of a ghost box / infrared device. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was pretty cool because he got a patent on it. Nobody else had that. And that's basically all we used, you know, other than some audio equipment. But the stuff out today is like it just blows my mind. Charts on the wall. Now the apps are on the cell phones, you know, for, I don't know if you use those, you know, the stick figures. And
yeah, I know. It's interesting. No, I don't use those. I have, I do have the brand new, I got two SLS cameras. I have the old version and I have the 3D version of the SLS camera.
Oh, sweet.
I love it.
I haven't seen the 3D version yet.
It's nice.
Now, what's your favorite piece of equipment that you use?
I love my intercom box made by Jay Prather. Mm-hmm. It's also a direct link. So, I can like touch a little button on there and they can use my energy to pull for me to communicate more. And that is straight communication from spirit. When Jay Prather built that device, he blocked it from radio communications.
Yeah, that's my next question.
Yeah, he blocked all radio communication. He said, if I do get any radio communication, it's going to be very rare. Because when he built it, he made sure that this device did not get that. And I love that device because sometimes the ink box will be in a place that has like a lot of stone, a lot of brick, and we can't get the ink box to get that communication. Mm-hmm. And then the intercom box will. But those are my two, the ink box and the intercom box. I do love my recorder. I have a really good recorder. It's real sensitive. It picks up some amazing stuff, you know, and I love my SLS camera. So those are my favorite.
Have you or your sisters ever been hurt during an investigation?
Well, besides someone tripping and falling on their own.
On their own. or one of the sisters pushing the other sister, you know.
Yeah. I do want, no one's been hurt, but I've been scratched a couple times, but I didn't feel like it was anything evil. I just felt like maybe I upset somebody and we're never disrespectful, but sometimes if you're women in a men's area, like a men's club, mm-hmm. they don't want you there, you know?
Right.
Well, you know, and we go in these places, that you got animals running around, bats. I attract bats. Okay. They'll tell me when we go to these locations to investigate, they'll be like, we don't never see bats in here. And then all of a sudden we'll be investigating and then boom, there's a bat. It's like, what?
No, I haven't dealt with bats, but I have dealt with crows. That was different.
Yeah, that would be different.
Crows are very, very smart.
Yes. Yeah, they are.
But anyway, what got you interested into the paranormal to begin with?
Ever since I was like 9 and 10, I had been dealing with things. I had lost a brother, and it was like I had stuff going on before he passed. Like I always sensed somebody was around watching when nobody was with me. That fear, you know. But it seemed like things got worse after my brother passed away, and because I was really close to him. He was always coming around me. I would hear what I believe was him walking around in the room, messing with my radio, turning it up and down, things like that. And then as I became a teenager, I started having things happening. I would feel someone sitting on my bed. I even experienced someone climbing in my bed. Just seemed like anywhere I was living, I was having all these crazy experiences happening throughout my life. And they messed with my electronics. I had them talk to me through alarm clocks. My brother pretty much was warning me about my house before it burnt. My house almost burnt down. And my brother came across my TV, his name, in 1998, went crazy on one of those big back TVs, you know, uh-huh. back in those days.
Right.
It's one of those supernatural things that most people wouldn't believe if you told them. But I had three people that witnessed it, and it really happened. My brother came through my TV with his name. Sean was going crazy on my TV. And I had this feeling to rearrange my living room. And if I would not have rearranged my living room, my friend that came over to my house, she noticed that the plug-in on the wall was melting in because there was a weird smell. We thought an animal crawled underneath the porch and died or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had that feeling to rearrange, and I rearranged. And if I would not have done that, my friend, when she came over, wouldn't have seen the plug that was melting in and almost caught on fire. And I believe my brother was trying to warn me because before I rearranged that, his name was going crazy on the TV.
Wow.
And this was on his birthday. It was May 7th, which is today. It's my brother's birthday. Wow.
Oh, happy birthday, Sean.
Yeah, I know. And I've just had so many. I actually began to write a book on all my experiences with the spirits.
Have you thought about writing a book of all your investigations, your spirits, your personal?
Yeah, I actually wrote down, I have in my notes, I just haven't produced anything. I just got everything written up from the time I was young, all these experiences. There's so many. I've stopped in my notes. I stopped writing once I started at my team. So I took it that far. I just haven't went back and, you know, kept writing more. There's so much. If I would have been thinking about it, I would have kept track of all these locations and every investigation that we've ever done.
Yeah, I would encourage you to do that. You know, I mean, my book's going to come out this year. It's my first one, you know, after mine was like 50 some years in the making, you know. So what happened to me when I was 12 years old, growing up in a haunted house? And so it's only taken this long to put the book out there. Somebody asked me, oh, when's the second one coming out? Well, you know, it took me 57 years to write this one, so I'll be dead before the second one comes out. Yeah.
Oh, no.
But you know, I'm already started on it. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I would say go with what your heart tells you to do. You know, I think you got some good stories and years of experience. People like to read that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a market out there for that.
Yes, and the stories that I could tell just are mind-blowing, that, you know, I experienced these things in my family. I drove them nuts. They're like, I don't know why this is happening to you. I didn't know. But I also knew I was always drawn to psychics and stuff growing up. I was always intrigued, and I didn't know that I was a natural medium. What got me, I actually started my mediumship before I did my paranormal team. And the reason being is because my children have inherited this gift, especially my youngest one. And she was starting she always was saying she was seeing something when she was younger. But when she became a teenager, I want to say 12 or 13, she started hearing them, seeing them. She'd see them in her dreams, and then she'd see them in real life. And I didn't know what to do for her. I didn't know how to help her. And I ended up getting a reading from a guy in Ireland, and he said, I can help you. You're already a natural medium. That's why you've always had these experiences your whole life. And the spirits have been trying to communicate with you. And I'm like, well, I'm scared. They're scaring me.
Now, you, with your mediumship, you can contact the spirits through that.
Yes. Yes. I give people readings all over the world.
Okay. So with doing that, I mean, it's going to be a weird question. But in my book, I have, there's a part in the book where my friend and I, we were hopped on it. We jumped a train, and long story short, I was like, man, why don't you believe my stories about, you know, the ghost in the house? And he wanted to tell me because it would make him open up about his stories that he had, but it wasn't about ghosts. It was about UFOs, you know, and about his mental telepathy with these extraterrestrials, you know. And so would your gift also be able to contact like a extraterrestrial?
I mean, I don't know. I
never asked a medium on my show that question.
It's a very interesting, you know, I do connect with higher realms. It's like the more I do this, I have expanded my gift. So I'm not just an intuitive medium either. I even do I'm also a physical medium. And that's when I'm communicating with spirits, I feel what happened to them. So that can be very hard on me sometimes.
I was going to say that could be a blessing or a curse. I don't know which one.
Yeah. And when I give people readings, I can feel what they're going through. Like, I will feel what's coming up for them too. It's just the more I do what I'm doing, it's just opening up all these different things that I didn't even know I could do.
Do you find it harder to do a reading for a family member or a close friend?
Good question. I have had a hard time sometimes reading my family members, but I have done it, and it was pretty interesting. But I always tell my sisters and them, you know, look, you guys are too close to me, and, you know, I just, sometimes I'll read them, and then I don't, you know. But I'm also a Reiki practitioner.
I love Reiki. So
Yeah, and that opens up another realm, you know, a healing thing, and really opens up all your clairs, you know, your chakras.
And your spiritual, and your spirituality, I mean.
Yeah, I have done Reiki on people, and they are just like, whoa, you know. it's interesting. It really is. And I've done it for my family members too. So yeah. And my husband. So yeah.
So what made you wake up one day and say, hey, I want to start a paranormal investigation team?
You know, everything just lined up. I it's so crazy. So I think, because, you know, when you're a child, I had multiple things that had happened to me in my life. Wasn't just losing my brother. I had other traumatic things that happened. So those, when you have traumatic things that happen to you as a child or as an adult, it opens up doors that should not be open, you know. So I believe that I was always a sensitive child anyway, but when doors open that aren't meant to be open, then I'm connected to the spirit world.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I've been dealing with that my whole life, and I've always been intrigued with hearing ghost stories from my family members. I've always loved watching the psychic shows on TV, and started watching TAPS when we were young. And I just was like, wow, you know, this stuff's really out there. This stuff's really happening. People are doing this. So I was always drawn to it, but I never knew that I'd be doing this until, you know, I had to get help from a medium who helped me with my mediumship and helped me learn how to help my daughter. And once that happened, it was like, next thing I know, I'm being drawn to go on an investigation at the Mansfield prison. It's like everything just aligned up. Next thing I know, I'm starting up a team. Next thing I know, I wasn't going to make it an all-female team. I didn't even know it was going to be an all-female team. I used to have guys on my team.
Uh-huh.
And when we first started, but they were always behind the scenes. They were a researcher or someone who just set up the cameras, you know, uh-huh, fixed the equipment. But it was always about us ladies out front, and the men were behind us. But they would come out in the field with us too when we needed them. But I wasn't going to name it Ghost Sisters. It was going to have a title that had to do with men and women. Something like that. One day I was just sitting here and I was about to change the name, and all of a sudden I got a download from spirit, and they were like, no, you need to leave it where it's at.
I think that's good advice. I love your name. It's really cool. I
mean, yeah. But you know, we used to be called Ghost Sisters of Marion, Ohio when we first started. We were Ghost Sisters of Marion, Ohio.
Okay.
About 2 years into it, we took the Marion, Ohio part off and just left it at Ghost Sisters.
Now, what's your thoughts on like past lives?
Oh, I definitely believe in past lives. I definitely do.
I've had a guest on before, and it really hit my mind up on it. I never thought about this, you know, hypnotizing mm-hmm. people and going back and helping that person through their past life. Which would could it take her back all the way to, like, say, the 1850s, 1700s. And that person, like, say you have a bronchitis, I mean, severe. And it turns out that your great-great-great-grandmother, everything stems way back to, and it was a really cool episode. I actually bought her book, and I had a few other guests on about, you know, talking about past lives matter, you know, past lives of of the spirit.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the past lives, because I am someone that's never liked tight things around my neck. I don't like to wear scarves. I don't like shirts really close up on my neck. I will, but I'm constantly pulling at my collar, you know, to stretch it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that in my past life, I was hung for being a medicine woman. And my dear friend, Patty Negri, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's a celebrity, a Hollywood celebrity.
Yes,
we're good friends.
Oh,
and,
cool.
You know, I've given Patty readings. She did hypnosis on me, and I went back. It was really interesting. So she took me way back. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, it was so crazy. If you ever get a chance to have something like that done, it's interesting. It definitely is. But yeah, I believe in past lives, and I believe people who have a fear of water, if you have a fear of water, it's probably because you probably drowned in a past life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. You're afraid to fly. Well, there was probably a reason you have a fear of flying, because in a past life, something probably happened.
Right. Now, do you believe you can move a spirit on? And if so, have you ever done that?
I have never done that. I've tried a couple times telling them to go, you know, go to the light, go, give me a sign when you leave. But I never really pushed it. I've always thought, well, you know, I believe in God. So I believe, like, you know, I feel like God can do that. But I have witnessed good friends of mine in the field who, one friend of mine is a demonologist and a medium. And I've literally witnessed him doing what he does and coming through his spirit box. Once the spirit has crossed, he will call upon the archangels to come and help. And the confirmation that I've heard come through a recorder and a spirit box leads me to believe that some of these people can do it. I think I could do it if I really wanted to.
I respect everybody's their opinion. And I've had other people on my show who was, yeah, you could say you don't believe in heaven or hell, but you're moving it on to another realm, or some people believe in only heaven and not hell, you know? So, you know, that's a tricky subject. I did a documentary on true ghost stories in the area, and I went to our priest in our church, and I was telling him about my idea, thinking he'd maybe think I'm a heathen or whatever, you know? Yeah. He was actually very supportive, and he said, you know, just be very careful, because there's a thin line, a bad spirit and a demonic spirit. So be very careful and never mess with a Ouija board. So that was another question, you know, have you ever done a Ouija board? Do you do Ouija boards?
You know, it's crazy, because when we were kids, you know, when the Ouija board just really came out, you know, back in the 80s, you know, so we had one, and yeah, we played with them. It was always like fun, exciting, and scary, you know. I'd only done it a few times, and on investigations, yeah, we've played Ouija boards. We don't own one and take one, no, but I'm not afraid to use one. I've used one at the Ewer Shrine a lot, because you know, they have them there, and it's just an interesting place.
Now, have you ever investigated cemeteries?
Oh, yeah. I've spent the night at a cemetery.
What's your thought on that?
Do I think that they're just stuck in the cemetery? No. I believe spirits travel. I believe they usually will come back to where they feel comfortable. I don't see nothing wrong with it, but there could be. You got to be careful, because you don't know what is lurking around a cemetery.
Right, you know? And I've had other teams say it's just tough to do an investigation in a cemetery because of the amount of spirit.
Well, we did spend a night at a location in Tennessee at a cemetery, and it had witches that were buried there, like old stuff. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of spirits there, but in my opinion, it doesn't make it harder. It makes it more interesting, because you're getting different stuff, I think.
Would you agree that Ohio is one of the most haunted states in the United States?
I'm going to say, yeah, it's probably top five.
If you would ask me that question 2 years ago, I would say no, because of all the people I've had on the show, you know, all around the world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I mean, I've had more and more responses, not just a guest on the show, but more and more responses from Ohio.
Oh, wow.
And places I've never been to, like you, like your town of Marion. I've never been there. No, I've been to Mansfield. I've been to, you know, Columbus. And I love the places to go to that aren't your Lizzie Borden houses. I like the off the beaten path place, you know, that people haven't heard of.
Yeah, that's what I like. The new locations, you know, never investigated. I love it.
All right. How do you use your, I think I asked you this, I'm not really sure, your gift of being a medium in your investigation? Do you just call out, or do they come to you?
Oh, I feel the energy from the time I arrive. As soon as I step out of the car, sometimes they'll come to me before I even get there.
Because I've always said, you know, spirit picks and chooses who they want to connect with.
Yeah, they definitely do. And I don't always try to tune in the spirit. I kind of tune in, tune out during an investigation because I don't want it to be all about, but I'm receiving. I want other people to get the validation, you know, with our devices, not just what I'm getting. So, and I don't want to make it when we're live all about me, what I'm getting, you know. So I'm an investigator and a medium. So I like to tune in on the mediumship part, tune out. Sometimes I'll block them. I won't communicate, but sometimes like it's like they'll nag at me if I don't say what I'm receiving, you know. But I do use my mediumship. I don't like to know anything about a location I'm going to. So, and I also do different forms of channeling. I do spirit channeling. We've done different things with my mediumship. I would have my sisters go outside of a building and I'd be alone in the building. I would not hear them asking questions, and I would just, and they would be live on, you know, Facebook or work, YouTube or wherever, and I'd have a live on me and we'd have them together. They would be able to pull up my live so people could hear and watch what's going on at the same time. But we called it spirit channeling because I'm channeling, but I don't see them and I don't hear them. I'm like, we're like at a distance. And then we'll go and after 10 minutes of channeling, we'll compare and see if it matches. And it's pretty interesting. So that works out pretty cool. I do spirit writing. Sometimes I'll go in and I'll use 10 minutes of spirit writing to channel with the spirits. And then later during the investigation, I'll take whatever I got in my writing and compare it on the investigation. So I do different stuff.
I was thinking of that because, you know, I've had other mediums that come on the show and I've always asked them, you know, because sometimes do you want to know the history of the place before you go in? Or do you like to go in, you know, kind of open-minded? And most of them always said that they prefer not to know too much so they can go in with an open slate and channel through their own process.
Yeah, because the commercial places, they want to give you a tour. And I'll tell my sisters, you guys go live, get the tour. I don't want to know anything, you know. Or if I go on a tour, I'll ask them, please don't say, you know, no names or too much, you know, just
do your own thing.
Or I'll stay behind. I won't even do the tour, you know. I also do, I feel a lot of energies. Like I can feel the energy shift real quick when I walk into a room. It's like, and I can feel the heaviness. Sometimes it's real thick, you know, and it's just a lot of energy. It's like, as soon as you walk into a room, it's like, hey, hello. Everybody's like coming up to you.
You know, I can go into a place and I can actually feel, I know that there's something there, something that's, and it's happened ever since, you know, like I said, I was 12 years old in this house. And it doesn't happen all that often. Sometimes I have a really long dry spell, you know, but I can sense, like the house I went into last year was just, the energy was just overwhelming. It was so intense, close to passing out. It was so, and I never felt that way before.
Well, everyone has a gift. Everyone has the ability to do it, but a lot of people shut it down when they're young because, you know, when you're a child and you might have an imaginary friend who might be a ghost or something, you know, children are very receptive to spirit. They're very open. They don't know no better. They've never been taught nothing different.
Right. You're not taught that it's a bunch of malarkey, you know, or.
Yes. So they're open to it. So, but some children's parents will tell them, you know, that's not real. You're not. It's just your imagination. You know, when you constantly hear that as you're growing up, you're going to shut it down. You're going to block it.
And so that was my problem in my book, you know, in real life. I was constantly told that, you know, stop making these stories up, or I was grounded for even talking about it. You know, so it was like,
oh, wow.
Because my mother, in the 4 years that we lived in this house, my mom and dad never witnessed anything. So it was just my sister, myself, my brother, a few friends and relatives that had come over. But even my girlfriend at the time I was seeing for a couple of years, she never seen anything. My best friend has come over every day for all that time, never seen or heard anything, you know, but the people that did. So yeah. How old is your, you said your youngest daughter, you believe, is a medium?
Oh, she is definitely. But she's been dealing with spirits since she was little. So her started probably when she was like, I remember like 9 and 10. And after her father had passed, it got worse for her. She started hearing and seeing them. And I mean, she would have dreams and then she'd see them. She'd see them in her dreams and then she was seeing them in real life.
Kind of like you and your brother.
Yeah, it was her, like, she sees them all the time, you know. She was seeing them in school, even as a teenager going to school, driving down the road. She said she freaked me out one day because I was getting ready for work and she had left to go to school and she was on our road and she slammed on her brakes because she thought she about hit a woman. And she called me freaking out and she said, Mom, I thought I almost hit a woman. I'm like, what? She goes, I slammed on my brakes. I thought it was a woman and here it was a ghost. It was a woman walking in white across the street and there's a cemetery by our house. And my daughter was like, oh my God, she was freaked out. Mm-hmm. You know, I take her to doctor's appointments and she was seeing spirits around the doctors. It was getting, it was crazy, you know, dealing with everything she had been going through. And
well, she's got the gift, you know.
Yeah. And she seen them. Like, I see spirits with my eyes. Like, I see people if they want me to see them, and I have. But I see them more in my third eye. Mm-hmm. You know, as for her, she will see them. Like, it's not in her third eye. She's seeing them. And I do both.
Do you do the tarot cards, too, or
yes, I do readings? Tarot. I don't do palm readings, but I do tarot. I do Reiki, the mediumship. I even do remote viewing. I've done that. And I also can even do psychometry, where I think that's what it is, where you can touch objects and read them.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. Like when I do big events for my mediumship, I'll people buy tickets and I'll do a big events and people will bring their loved ones' belongings and sometimes I'll read them.
You know, it really opened my mind up, and you probably got a different perspective on this also with the when we had the total eclipse,
mm-hmm.
like right in the line of it, you know, in our area. So mm-hmm. it was so, I'd never experienced that before. I mean, yeah, eclipse, yes, you know, but to be in that path, it was such a feeling. It was weird.
It was eerie.
What was your experiences with that? With, like, say, the total eclipse? I mean, did you feel like any?
I felt like it made a shift with the activity with spirits, at least around my house, anyway.
And that's what exactly another medium told me, was that the spirits were busy, very busy.
Yeah, it just like shifted the energy and like maybe kicked things up, you know, because I've had a lot of spirits follow me home anyway, but definitely there is some interesting things that's happened here at my house. So, yeah, which is nothing new for me.
It's been my pleasure having you on the show. I want to thank you for sticking with me and with all the little setbacks we had at the beginning there. Yeah, I want to put your links in the bottom of the episode where people can contact you for mediumship or investigations.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Also, I have a new documentary getting ready to come out. It's going to be on scare.networktv. And this was filmed this year in January at a place called the Ewer Shrine in Bristol, Tennessee. And I filmed with Shane Pittman and Sean Austin and Josh Purvis. So you guys are going to want to check that out. That'll be coming out soon. They're already, right now, they're doing the editing and everything for that documentary right now. So it's going to be good. I promise you guys, very, very interesting documentary.
Thank you, Mandy Cummings, for coming on the show. Mandy is the lead investigator with the Ghost Sisters Paranormal. It was really an enjoyable episode. And please check out Mandy and the Ghost Sisters Paranormal links at the bottom of this episode. And I will see you in another 2 weeks, Ghosts in the Valley podcast.